Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our refrain. I'd like to remind you that next Sunday will be Mother's Day, and we want to honor all of the mothers. So at each one of the doors to the sanctuary, you will find ribbons, red one for mothers who are deceased and white ones for, white ones for mothers who are deceased and red ones for mothers who are alive. And please take a ribbon and pin it on yourself. Those will be at each one of the doors to the sanctuary next Sunday. I want to call your attention to the Wednesday night gathering. There will be a special program on the North American virus, i.e. swine flu. And so we'd like for you to come and hear the program. It's a really important one, and I think it will be very informative. I also want to remind you that the UMW circles will begin their meetings for May. Please check your newsletter for the time and place for your circle. I also want to call to your attention that Living Well South Carolina will begin May the 19th and run through June 23rd. You can call the office, the church office, to register. That will be led by the Flints and by our own Lee Roberts. We have a very special program tonight. The youth will be performing a variety talent show for us, as well as a dessert auction. And some of us old folks are going to be participating. So do come and support the youth. I think you'll have a really good time. I think I'm being interrupted here.
Can I just grab this for just a second? Okay. Hello, everybody. That was a great announcement about the variety show, but I don't think it did it justice. So we're here to announce that tonight is indeed the variety show, but it's not just the same variety show like it has been. It's going to be a lot of new stuff and a lot of surprises for the audience, and you're all planning on going, right? Right, of course.
And we're all really excited because this is the first year that it'll be girls that'll be hosting it, which is Mary Lyle and me.
It's going to be really exciting. We hope you guys can come out and make it. There's going to be lots of really good desserts and lots of fun and lots of really good acts. So please come out and support the church, and we hope to see you all there. It is at 6 o'clock, so be there, please. Now let us continue with our worship.
Please rise if you're able for the call to worship. The Good Shepherd invites us to green pastures. We are refreshed beside still waters. When we walk through shattered valleys, God is with us. We are comforted and reassured. God welcomes us to the table where love is expressed. We are invited to partake of the truth God offers.
We have received plenty that we might share. We are called to be God's helpers.
As printed in your bulletin. Good Shepherd, we meet in your name, confident that we are known and loved by you. Here we draw close to one another and to you. We ask for fresh insights for living as your people. We want to care for one another in life-giving ways. We seek to reach out to those who deny you or suspect us. Help us grow in love that is genuine in its caring and self-sacrifice. We embrace the wholeness you offer and dare to risk acceptance of a healing role for ourselves and this faith community. Equip us for service beyond this hour of meeting. Amen. Now, it is not in your bulletin, but I'm going to invite Coach Shel Dula forward as the chair of the Capital Campaign to speak just a word to us about where we are in the payment of our indebtedness for the previous renovation and new building, which was all part of the Capital Campaign. He's going to kind of tell us where we are and the upcoming important dates.
Thank you. Before mentioning the Capital Campaign, I want to take this opportunity on behalf of our church and also the Board of Trustees to thank you so much for the gracious way in which you've supported our renovation with the stained glass windows, the preservation and restoration. We certainly do appreciate that, certainly do appreciate the way that you've responded to that. As we look at our Capital Campaign, as a remembrance, we had a three-year campaign, and now we're in the third year of the second three-year campaign to try to pay for the new facility and the renovations done in the this building and other buildings that are part of our church. What we need to stress to you is on July the 15th, we do have a $375,000 payment that's due. We've already paid $175,000 of this, but we still need to pay the additional $200,000 by July the 15th. What we're asking is that if any of you have made your pledges for 2009, and it's possible, we would certainly appreciate your consideration of going ahead and giving your pledge to the church prior to this July the 15th date. We know our economy's tough. We know that we're all struggling in that aspect. But we certainly ask that you will prayerfully consider whether or not you can feasibly go ahead and give the pledge that you made for 2009. We would certainly appreciate that. But we thank you for all that you do for Main Street, and we thank you for allowing us to move forward in doing God's work. Thank you.
Our first reading for this day comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. You can find this passage on page 147 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. The religious leaders who had arrested Peter for healing the lame man and proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus demanded by what authority Peter had acted. Peter boldly explained, "It was by the power and the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," and added that all salvation there is comes through Jesus. Hear now God's holy word. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made their prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what name, what power, have you done this thing?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and or ask how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalm reading for today is the 23rd Psalm. It is one that is very familiar to most people. Rather than simply having this passage read or using one of our standard Psalter settings, I thought we would experience this psalm in a new way, in a paraphrased version found in Hymn 138, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." I invite you to turn to that now, remain seated as we sing God's Word together.
The epistle reading for this day comes from the first letter of John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 24. This passage can be found in the Pew Bible in the New Testament section on page 292. The writer instructs us that by the power and authority of the risen Christ, we are led to love not in words only, but also in truth and action. Hear now God's words to us. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him. Whatever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from God whatever we ask, and because we obey his commandments and do what pleases God. And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as God has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to our prayer time, I'd like to lift up some special concerns. Well, first, some thanksgivings. As I noted this morning, we've had the birth of three new babies in our congregation. We have Michael and Lena Meredith have Matthew Teague and Julia Elizabeth, born twins this past week. And Patty and Philip Nichols have William Reed, born this past week. We have not been as successful in outreach evangelism as we should be, but this is another way to go to increase membership and encourage the younger couples among us to follow suit. Rhonda McGinnis is here today and recovering from gallbladder surgery this past week. She will have another procedure this coming Tuesday. Please be in prayer for Rhonda, for her healing and wholeness. Hack Robinson has been moved to the Presbyterian home in Clinton. Please be in prayer for Hack and for Gail and that new situation in their life and marriage. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we are your sheep and you are our good shepherd. And though we so often roam into the wrong paths and choose them knowingly, endangering ourselves and others, we know you as one who seeks us out and leads us back, receives us back in open arms time and time again. When the storms come and the winds blow and the lightning strikes, we are thankful for your calm and your loving presence and the peace of the presence of your Spirit, which does indeed pass all human understanding. Lord, even as sin, judgment, greed, and destructive lust for things come against us like a wild animal, we are thankful for your strong protection. You are a shepherd who loves and cares for the flock. We praise you for your faithfulness and rest in your power. When we stray, bring us back. When we falter, lift us up. When we struggle, carry us on. We thank you for your love that never ends, for love that went all the way to the cross for each of us. Lord, we do now pray for those who are caught up in disease or the fear of disease, for the panic-prone who hang on every word of bad news, for those who have financial difficulties and have employment difficulties. Lord, we pray your guidance, your peace, your comfort, and we pray that you indeed will work things together for the good. We pray that you work in some way your will to bring us together as a congregation more unified under Christ, to bring us together as a people with wholeness out of even turmoil and uncertainty. We pray your will to make new things come out of chaos. Help us care for one another as you have cared for us all. And hear now our personal and private prayers as we silently lift them up before you in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear them, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, as your children. We pray saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
I've been asked what's up with the blankets. These are prayer shawls, and these have been made by members of our congregation, all different ages. There are ladies in our... I think it's all ladies so far, isn't it? I guess men could learn to do this theoretically, but it hasn't happened yet. These are prayer shawls made for folks who are having some special concern in which a shawl might comfort them, and we pray over them, bless them so that they might be a blessing to others. And I'm wearing a special custom-made stole today, which is made by the ladies. Each of these little squares or rectangles are made by the ladies.
Triangles.
Well, triangles too, I guess, could be, but these are rectangles. I've got something in the box. I started thinking about how these prayer shawls represent love and care and concern. I've got something in the box I have never brought to church before, and it's very special to me. It's not a dog. It is an old pillow. It is very, very old. And if you feel it, you feel up in there. It's filled with real feathers. If you feel deep down inside, it's got real feathers. My goodness, I didn't know it was going to be this popular. It's got real feathers up in it. And it actually, this is an outer case that's been added onto it. The pillow was made by my great-grandmother, and then it was my grandmother's. And we just kind of keep it in the closet. And there's something real strange about this pillow. It feels kind of tough because it's kind of old, but there's something special about this pillow. It smells like my grandmother's house. It smells like my grandmother. And occasionally, I'll just go, it probably sounds kind of dumb to y'all, but I'll go to my closet and smell the pillow. It smells a little bit like her house in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it smells a little bit like Bengay and a little bit like Vicks VapoRub, because that's what my grandmother smelled like. But those smells represented love to me. Those smells represented love to me. I mean, occasionally I'll smell that pillow and get kind of misty-eyed. Now, I was worried that might happen today, but I appreciate you distracting me so that has not happened. These prayer shawls also represent love. I doubt, although some of them might smell like Bengay, I don't know whose hands were on them, but I doubt that they have any particular smell to them, but they do represent love and caring and compassion to other people. And I know that you have folks in your lives who, especially when you see them, you smile and you feel warm inside because you know they love you no matter what. You know they care for you and they would be there no matter what. And those special people, everything about them says love to you. Well, these prayer shawls are meant to say love too. And we'll have an opportunity in the last hymn as we sing today in the worship service for people who want to come forward and lay hands on these things and pray. Pray that the people who receive them will feel the love that they represent, the love of God that comes through us. Okay, well, I guess you're blessing them in your own way. Let's everybody grab somebody's hand and we'll have a prayer. And remember, with all the flu going around, wash your hands a lot. But for now, I guess we can go ahead and grab. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the love that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Greater love has no one known. And in the smaller ways we can echo your love, let us do that. In tangible ways, let us care, let us speak, let us embrace, let us show concern. Lord, bless us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Now, as we pass the peace today, I do encourage you not to embrace quite so much. You can bump fist, says Richard Pinckney. We could gaze deeply into one another's eyes. But because there is a concern of flu, let us pass the peace in creative ways today. Okay. Affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God's word from the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And if I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I had a young boy in a former church where I was everything, youth director and everything, and I had in youth this young boy who sort of lived in a world of his own. His parents explained to me soon after I met him that he had taken a hard blow to the head as a very young child, and that might have explained his behavior. Seriously. He was also a Taekwondo student of mine. I was an instructor at that time, and at a regional tournament in Charlotte, North Carolina, 300 people in attendance there, and we were all at attention, standing for the opening pledge of allegiance, and Ryan was off to the side with a live microphone saying, testing, 1, 2, 3. And the man in charge said, who does he belong to? And I had to break out of formation and say, he's mine, he's mine. And I sometimes get the impression that Jesus has to say that about me. He's mine. Another time, just to describe the kind of person he was and what he was capable of, he, at a youth event again at Charlotte with people from all over the place there, he walked up to another young girl with nothing more than curiosity and an absolute oblivious to good manners and political correctness. He walked right up to her, he looked at her, and he said, with a quizzical look on his face, he said, are you black or white? And she sort of showed an indignant, how dare you face, and Ryan just stood his ground and he said, well, what are you? That was the kind of person Ryan was. And the reason I brought all that up is so you would get this last true story. We had a well-known evangelist come to preach, and we had a lunch afterwards. And when we had the lunch, Ryan was gazing at the evangelist's gold ring with rubies and diamonds on it. And I remember thinking to myself, don't say anything. But it was more than he could bear. And in the middle of lunch, in the middle of everybody around there, right across from the evangelist, he looked at him and he said, do you think Jesus would wear a ring like that? And nobody said anything. And he said, well, would he? Well, maybe Ryan asked too many questions, but I want you to think a little differently, off the subject here. Our faith isn't very important if it doesn't cause us to ask at least some questions about what we do every day, and why we do it. Our faith should inform our behavior. And if we are following Jesus as shepherd, maybe we ought to question a lot of things, not just around us, but in our daily schedules. But more likely, many other things and many other people influence us far more than following Jesus. I remember vividly in a class at Wofford College, a professor relating the details of a psychology experiment, and it was an experiment which revealed how we follow the leaders because of peer pressure, even when we don't know we're doing it. And I couldn't find who did this, but I remember it this way. The experiment took place on a college campus, and they asked three very popular young co-eds to begin wearing red sweaters several times a week. And they were sworn to secrecy about the fact that they were part of an experiment. And these popular young women just started wearing red sweaters while the professor and his students started looking around and keeping score. Can you guess the result? Within 3 weeks, more than half the women on campus were wearing red sweaters on any given day. They had successfully illustrated, without saying a word, the power of influence and the sheep-like nature of even the smartest among us. And that's where my title comes from, Sheeple. We need a shepherd. There is something within us that makes us want to belong. We want to succeed and be around people who have succeeded or who might help us in some way. We want to be accepted and popular and befriended and cool. And when we think we see someone who can help us get those things, we follow. We see someone who looks like a leader, and sometimes without even asking where they're going, we tend to follow. History is filled with case after case of someone acting the part of a shepherd. They fit the profile we have in our head, and we're already primed to follow someone, so we tend to just get in line. They follow to get and to gain money, fame, popularity, influence, and many follow trends and trendy people, and that makes them sheeple. We are primed to follow and gather and group. And it makes sense because that is the only way primitive humans could have survived. Somewhere deep in our DNA, we echo what it says in Genesis, it is not good to be alone. We were born seeking to belong to and live with some group or another. And Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. He came in God's name and he lived out God's love and he calls us into God's flock. He led us to gather together and he leads us toward God. Now, the other forces in the world in the first century, they moved hard against Jesus. In the first century, it was the church and the state, and they fought him at every turn. They said, "These people belong to us." Jesus said, "Follow me. I go to the Father." The religious officials said, "Follow us. We have the rituals, and we will tell you what you need to know about God." And the Roman state at the time said, "We have the power to tax, the power to imprison, and the power to kill. You better come with us." And Jesus said, "Follow me. I go to the Father." Following after Jesus will cost us just as it cost Jesus to follow the Father's will. Following Jesus means we ignore the other voices when they contradict Jesus. The other voices don't like to be ignored, so it will cost. And contrary to what some false shepherds say, Jesus' way is not a roadmap to worldly success. I know I hear that on the radio and the TV sometimes from other preachers, but it's not a roadmap to worldly success. Jesus does not promise popularity or fame or fortune. Jesus promises none of these things. You have to ask yourself, why would we follow someone who says, "Take up your cross and follow me"? Well, he also said, "I am the good shepherd." There are many shepherds who are not so good. They lead in order to get. They influence to get, to take, to enrich themselves. Jesus gave all the way to the cross. He laid down his life for the sheep. We can trust him. Now, if you remember your Sunday school lessons, you'll recall that many of God's greatest leaders from the earliest days had been shepherds. Abraham, father of the Jews, was a keeper of flocks. Moses tended the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro. And then King David was first a little shepherd boy before he met Goliath. And the 23rd Psalm again paints the idea of God as a good shepherd. So Jesus took this foundation that was already in Jewish thought of shepherding, and he took it much further. Remember, Jesus also told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one of them went astray. Now, in our way of thinking, a 99% return is okay, but not this shepherd. Jesus said that he left the 99 to go search for the one lost sheep. Jesus cares about individuals. And that's what leaving the 99 and looking for the one lost one means. Like a good shepherd, Jesus knows us by name. And he cares for us and is willing to give his life for us. And he has done that. Now that he has proven he cares, he wants us to follow. But like sheep, we are easily distracted and we are easily spooked and we are easily lost down every little dead end that looks attractive. Former Bishop Ed Tullis used to tell the story of a census taker who went to see a family way back up in the hills somewhere and asked the mother, "How many dependents do you have?" And she told the census taker, "We got Rosalie, we got Billy, we got Luella, and our dog Willie." The census taker said, No, I just want humans." So she started over again. "We got Rosalie, we got Billy, we got Luella." And he was exasperated. He said, "I don't need, ma'am, you don't understand. I don't need the names. I just need numbers." And the mother innocently replied, I don't know them by numbers, I only know them by name. In John Drinkwater's historical drama, Abraham Lincoln, a woman says to Lincoln, Mr. President, have you heard the good news in the latest battle? We suffered 800 casualties, but the enemy suffered 2,700. How splendid. And Lincoln, in that work, responds, splendid. Splendid that 3,500 souls are lost. And she said, oh, Mr. President, you mustn't look at it that way. Only 800 of them counted. But Lincoln replied, Madam, the world is much bigger than your heart. The text I preached from last week, 1 John, the second chapter, talks about how big God's heart is. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. We have a good shepherd who gave himself for the sins of the whole world. Now, his love and his heart are bigger than ours. And not all are going to follow Jesus, but Jesus is willing to lead whomsoever will come. It is comforting to know that the Creator of the universe knows us by name, cares for us as a good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep, and they know me. Now, fellow sheep, I ask you, how closely are you following your shepherd? Now I'm going to get personal. I don't remember when this started, but a few weeks ago, Caroline and I started asking each other. Now, you've got to understand, this is not sarcasm. I'm not trying to be funny. We started asking each other seriously and carefully when we use this. Questions like, would Jesus use that tone? Or when something seems selfish or judgmental or hurtful or ill-considered, she would ask me, or I might ask her, would Jesus repeat that story? And of course, when used appropriately and not overdone, those are perfectly good questions. And it helps you find out real fast how well you are following your shepherd. You know, Jesus himself asked this question in the Gospel of Luke. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? Why indeed? It's a fair question. And if Jesus is your shepherd and you have decided to follow because you trust him, because you believe he has made the eternal God known, then the other voices, these red sweater fashion makers, really should not have influence in your life. Those who want to get from you cannot compete with the God who gave himself for you in Jesus Christ. This man who lived out the love of God loved you. So follow. And ask yourself from time to time, would Jesus misuse power and position? Would Jesus endlessly argue old fights over and over that should have been forgiven and buried decades ago? Would Jesus, your good shepherd, aim irritability at an innocent bystander? Would Jesus pretend not to see the homeless man? Would Jesus hold tightly to extra dollars when the church remained deeply in debt? Now, if this sounds too personal, I have to ask, isn't the shepherd-sheep relationship supposed to be personal? It almost seems in these days, as an observer of pop culture, like we're living through a time through someone else's red sweater experiment where the popular people are wearing ridicule of faith as their fashion statement and dragging others along with them. But Jesus is not a joke. Jesus is my shepherd, and it is more than a way to win an argument to ask, would Jesus do that? It's not for that. In fact, that's what the early Methodists did in a way in the earliest days. We come from a tradition where faith in those among those who follow the Good Shepherd would be accountable to others in a small group. And we would avoid the dead ends that way and the trends that way and the passing fancies and the others who might pull us away, because we would ask one another, how is it with your soul? What victories have you had? What defeats? When we belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we are not available to follow others. We already have a shepherd in a way, in a direction, in a truth, in a life. One who revealed the heart of God, and we can trust him. And he has no hidden agenda. He has given himself for us completely, so we can trust him. Last Friday, just a few days ago, I heard a preacher and author, James Harnish, say, "You don't have a life worth living if you don't have a cause worth dying for." That got my attention. Sacrifice must be a part of our faith. And it means that the church itself must lay down its life or be willing to for the unappreciative and the undeserving all around us. The church is not for us. It is for reaching out and pulling in and then strengthening those who are here so that we might reach out and pull in and gather more sheep and pull back the lost from the dead ends that they have fallen into. It's not enough that we simply remain sheep. Jesus is calling us into the role of shepherd as well. Remember when Jesus asked Simon Peter one day, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he replied, "Then feed my sheep, tend my little lambs, care for my sheep." And so we are called together closer and closer to Jesus, our shepherd, and that brings us closer and closer to each other. There are no solitary Christians. That's not the plan. We are called together, nearer to Jesus and nearer to each other. And sometimes we are sent on search parties to find those of us who have gone astray. Never forget that we are gathered by Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And in here, we are led and protected by Jesus' teachings, and we are protected by holding each other accountable to Jesus' teachings. And here is where God's Holy Spirit meets us, feeds us, and leads us into deeper understanding of what it means to follow. We are called to welcome whomsoever will come, just as God has welcomed us, and to help seek out and find the strays, and to bring them to safety. That's in here. There is also an out there, and it is less and less open to what we teach and what we preach and the way we seek to live. There are a lot of voices calling out to you and many calling you out of here, and they don't mean you well, and they don't have the words of life, and they don't lead you into forgiveness and compassion and grace. Our shepherd goes ahead of us, and he has prepared the way for us. He has gone ahead in life, he has gone ahead in death, and he has gone ahead in life beyond death. And because of his journey ahead of us, no matter what we face, we know the way is safe. His way is safe. He is the way to safety and healing and wholeness. You can trust the Good Shepherd. I want to close with just a few lines from a Charles Wesley hymn. It is a very mystical hymn that is no longer sung. It's called "Thou Shepherd of Israel." Thou shepherd of Israel and mine, the joy and desire of my heart, for closer communion I pine, I long to reside where thou art, the pasture I languish to find, where all who their shepherd obey are fed on thy bosom reclined and screened from the heat of the day. 'Tis there with the lambs of thy flock, there only I covet to rest, to lie at the foot of the rock, or rise to be hid in thy breast. 'Tis there I would always abide, and never a moment depart, concealed in the cleft of thy side, eternally held in thy heart. Jesus is our good shepherd. Let us trust him. Let us intentionally follow him. Let us build each other up and bring each other back and bring more in to the place where we have found belonging and wholeness in the way and the truth and the life. Amen. ask you who are with the shawls to remain and have each one touched by some member of our congregation. Let us pray. May God's grace be upon these shawls, warming and comforting, enfolding and embracing. May this mantle be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the one who receives these shawls be cradled in hope, kept in joy, grace, and peace, and wrapped in the love of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now receive this blessing, this benediction. May you know truly the love of God the Father. May you know completely the grace and the forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior. And may you know the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit even in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.